Thank you, Jean and Stephen. A few years ago, I had the privilege of going on holiday to Rome and visiting a number of the incredible sites there. The Colosseum, the Roman Forum, and of course, the Vatican. I don't know how many of you have been to the Vatican, but if you have, you'll know it is extremely busy. It's beautiful and stunning, but I did find it quite difficult to properly take it all in, as you're constantly being ushered along to allow the thousands of others waiting behind you to also have their opportunity to see it. However, the scene could not have been more different at the place that was ultimately my favourite from the whole trip, the Church of St. Paul outside the walls. Now, this church doesn't feature in that many tourist guides. It's in quite a rundown part of Rome. But here, in this church, so tradition holds, lies the tomb of St. Paul. It was so quiet there. There were no queues, no admission fees, no tourists, apart from me, I suppose. And in the heart of the church lay the tomb of Paul, above which you can see the chains which, again, tradition holds, bound Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And in the choir, I knelt there, next to the tomb and beneath the chains, and I felt the Lord say in the quiet, "Matt, to follow me is more than just going to church on a Sunday and leaving feeling a bit better about yourself. It is a daily walk involving your whole life. Take up your cross daily and follow me." And then he said, "And through this, the world is changed. Through my people quietly being transformed and then transforming their communities." I really felt that strongly in that church. The most personally transformative place on that trip was not the stunning, overwhelming majesty and glamour of the Vatican, surrounded by the hustle and bustle of thousands, but alone in that quiet church in a graffiti-ridden, rundown Roman suburb. And I find that a really helpful metaphor for our discipleship journeys, walking with Jesus. Because every one of us, whether that be the great saints Peter and Paul, whether that be our bishops and archbishops, whether that's Anne and myself, whether that's my Jacob, we are all disciples, apprentices of Jesus, always learning as we walk with him. And as we are transformed slowly during our walk to become more like him, he will partner with us to bless and transform his world. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," it's like we're praying for him to work through us to make this world a bit more like the one that he wants it to be. It's not just a prayer in some ways. It's not just a prayer to him, "Lord, can you send down a lightning bolt and change everything right now?" It's also, "Can you change my heart so that I will partner with you where you want me to be, to make this world more like how you want it to be?" And in my experience, this discipleship journey is rarely glamorous. It happens in the quiet. The quiet of waking up on a dreary and grey January morning and trying to pray or read our Bibles over a cup of tea, asking God to highlight which verses he wants for us today. Now, you'll have heard Anne and I mention these bread journals quite a bit, sort of in December and also in January. And this is the essence of what that is. Reading God's word, little bits each day, and asking God to highlight to us which verses are for us today. What does he want to say to us today? He's nudging us quietly to where he is already working and inviting us graciously to join in with him. So if you're wondering about getting one, can I please urge you to do so and give it a go? That's how I started. It was about this time last year, sort of towards the end of January, and I was a bit reluctant, if I'm being honest. I'd just done the Bible in a year, the year before, and I was kind of like, well, I feel like that was quite intense. I've done a lot of reading. Maybe ease off a bit this year, which is not really the right attitude, is it? But that was how I was feeling. But actually, a friend at college recommended these, and I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. And I found it really transformative. It transformed my relationship with Jesus and subsequently my relationship with others. An example of this was just a few months ago when the reading in the bread journal was Mark 10, when Jesus blesses the little children. Jesus is angered by his disciples trying to prevent the children from coming to him. And in the Message translation, which I really like in this verse, Jesus says, "Don't ever get between these children and me. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get him." And when I prayed into those two verses that day, I felt God say two things. Firstly, that little children are just as much disciples as I am. How they encounter him will look different to how I do, maybe simpler, but it's no less valid. And secondly, the simplicity of their approach is actually something that I can learn from. So often we can slightly overcomplicate things, and I think Jesus is saying, it's as simple as when your Jacob comes and there's a worship song on and he has a little dance to it. That's what part of the joy of the kingdom is. Or when we say a very, very simple prayer, me and Jacob have a prayer that we say every day, which is, God is good, God loves me, and God carries me. Amen. That's how we do it. And if you do it with Jacob, if he's not too shy, he will do the most enthusiastic amen you have ever heard. And actually, the simplicity of that has been a blessing to my prayer life as well. We don't need to be all high in airs and graces. Actually, the simplicity of a child is how our Lord invites us to come to him. And as a result of this bread reflection, directly as a result really, we also that was the kind of prompt that the Lord gave me to start the baby and toddler group that we're running on Thursday mornings at Hatton Church. A wonderful way to get to know and bless parents in our area, but also to explore some of these simple ways to encounter the love of God. Cups of tea and chats, sharing together the joys and delights and challenges of parenting, some very simple songs and prayers, and the joy of play. And it is such a ray of light in my week, each week, when it does feel like there's a little glimpse of thy kingdom come, even on cold, dreary January mornings. And all of that came from God speaking to me through a simple 10-minute reflection on a Bible verse using this bread journal. I'm going to finish by highlighting another example of this from today's passage. Now, obviously, Saul's conversion is dramatic and is incredible, and it ultimately goes on to change the church and the world. The historian Tom Holland, who is not a Christian, he says that St. Paul's conversion is one of the most significant events in the history of Western civilization because it transforms everything, ultimately. However, there's a good chance that none of this would have happened if a disciple in Damascus had not been quietly praying alone that day. Ananias is never mentioned again in the Bible. This is the only bit he gets a mention. But his quiet obedience in prayer and listening to the Lord is crucial in helping to kickstart the greatest missionary journey in the history of the church. And I really believe that all of us, like Ananias, we all have roles to play for Jesus and his kingdom. And they all start with quiet prayer, Bible reading, journaling, whatever it may be for you, spending time with our Lord, opening ourselves to Jesus transforming us, and then through us to transform his world. Amen.